180 degrees. New direction.
Good morning, podcast audience. Again, it's Branch President Ken Hodge with a podcast pertaining to the Uniform Local Union Constitution. Again, I maintain that the local president in 304 in particular overexerts his authority, and something should be done about it. If not now, at least moving forward, so that no other branch president has to go through this. Now, what I'm going to do today is the last 2 days I covered the Uniform Local Union Constitution, duties and responsibilities of a local president. Today, I'm going to again read to you from the Uniform Local Union Constitution, Article 4, Section E, Branch President. See, again, I tried to give you all sides of the dilemma, and then hopefully together we can arrive at a common response. Okay, Section E, Branch President. The branch president shall be subject to the authority and direction of the local president. Now, most people hear that statement, and for whatever reason, that statement says that the local president can do whatever they want to do with the branch president. I'm here to tell you that Constitution language, that's not what I'm reading. He shall process grievances, step one and two. He or she shall see that the local bulletin board is kept current. He or she shall be responsible for organizing members into this local union. He or she shall be responsible for having monthly or quarterly labor management meetings with the local installation head, and also shall be responsible for having regular scheduled safety and health committee meetings. He or she shall have authority to administer existing contracts covering his or her branch subject to the supervision of the local president. He or she shall assist the local president and or his designee in the negotiation of a local memorandum of understanding. He or she shall submit a written monthly report to the local president of all the activities in his or her branch. He or she shall schedule, subject to the approval of the local president, and call branch meetings and provide hearing. He or she shall be responsible for any other duties assigned to him or her by the local president. He or she shall supervise shop steward within his branch, subject to the supervision of the local president. So, reading right from the Constitution, those are the duties that are outlined for a branch president. Now, what I want to do is I want to cross-reference the duties that's outlined for the branch president with the duties that are outlined in our local bylaws. Okay, in our local bylaws. And again, I'm now moving from the Uniform Local Union Constitution to the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Local 304, the local bylaws. And inside the bylaws, if you go to Article 4, again, Section E, you'll see a branch president. The duties of the branch president shall be those as set forth by the provisions of Article 4, Section 5E, 1-1 of the Uniform Local Union Constitution, which we've read. Now, a couple of things that really strike my interest when we talk about Constitution and bylaws. If you go to if you stay in Section E, again, of the bylaws, paragraph 16, branch president or chief administration representative, the CAR, are to forward a copy of the complete case file to the central regional director or the eastern regional director, Mail Handlers Union of Iona. It is the branch president or the CAR responsibility to forward within 5 days of the appeal each case files as follows. One, an original case to Cincinnati, Ohio headquarters, doesn't have to be certified. It can be sent through normal mailing. One copy to the regional office, and one copy to be maintained at the branch office. Now, in bold letters under our bylaws, it says, there is no exception to this area of responsibility. Now, again, if we state in our bylaws there is no exception, then you got to understand why I'm so adamant that everything in our bylaws and our Constitution says that the branch president is an entity that the local president cannot just decide to suspend and take away duties. The local president has the autonomy to assign duties. The branch president falls under the direction of the local president, but again, the assignment and that direction is already spelled out in our Constitution. So when we start talking about what a local president has authority to do and what the local president don't have authority to do, but does anyway, here's a prime example of it. The duties of a branch president is spelled out verbatim in our Constitution, in our bylaws, but yet a local president thinks they have the autonomy, actually we should just call it audacity, to just decide what's not best for a branch. So to the branch presidents out there, if you're going through suspensions, again, we can look at some of this language. And again, I don't see anything that allows that to take place. Please show me, because again, I'm adamant that when our Constitution says that we are under the authority and direction, that doesn't mean they have the authority and the power to suspend our duties. Our duties as a branch president are spelled out in the Constitution, and without a national board, or at the very least, the executive council hearing both sides of the case and making the decision, local president does not have that authority to take the action that he has taken in this case. And again, I want to say, never mind this case, I'm talking about tomorrow. You see, what I'm trying to do, as I plead my case, what I'm trying to do is get folks to understand, in our national constitution, in our bylaws, the ability to remove authority is a great responsibility, and it is protected with our constitution and bylaws. Again, and what I'd like to put out to the local presidents who may hear this podcast and think I'm trying to infringe on your power base, I'm not. What I'd like to say to you is, if to the local presidents, if you had a branch president who got elected but wasn't doing the job the way you wanted it to be done, would you fire him or would you attempt to train him? You see, and there's a big difference. And I know my current local president likes to say, because we disagreed on a lot of the things that he did, that I wasn't trainable. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you want to tell me, you can't train my opinion, that you can't train. But if you want to tell me, hey, branch president, you're filing grievances late, is there something going on? See, that you can tell me, because now I'm going to look and see, wait a minute, I don't think I'm filing grievances late. And if I am, then I would think that it's your job as a local president to get me back on track. But see, that's not what happened here. An allegation came up, and you, to this day, made no attempt to retrain and put me back in the game. You just felt it easier and more convenient for you to just eliminate me. But again, let me bring this back to the subject matter, because I really don't want to go too deep on me. All I'm saying, local presidents, is if you have a branch president who's not doing what you need done, I think training and retraining would far better suit the membership and your organization as opposed to let's just kick them out. Because that person did get elected. So whether you want to accept it or not, the majority of people who cast a vote wanted him in office. And if only five people voted and three of them voted for him, then that's still majority of the people who cast a vote. So again, this whole situation stinks in my particular case because it's just rooted in jealousy. But since it's here and we're addressing it, I'm simply saying to the national, to the local, to the members, as I read the Constitution and bylaws, I don't leave reading with the understanding that the local president has that authority. And that's all I'm trying to raise awareness to. I know a lot of times you think, wow, every day Ken's on the podcast. Let me tell you something. This is how I look at it. If I'm an active president, I'm working for you 8 hours a day. So for me to take an hour out of every day to do a podcast to tell you some of the things that I would actually be engaging in if I was in office, I hope you don't get tired of hearing me. But one thing I would like you to think of and think about, if he works this hard to get a job, you have no idea how hard I'm going to work to make sure I do the job properly. Now, what I don't want to happen is, you know, as a result of you hearing the podcast, and maybe some of you are starting to think, maybe Ken Hodge isn't this evil person that the local president has made him out to be. And maybe you might want to think of contacting the national, or even if you're in local 304, contacting local president and saying, hey, put Ken back in his job. He sounds like he's all right for the union. No, I don't want that to happen. Who are we kidding? Of course I want that to happen. Have a nice day, everyone, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.